You may be seated. The Lord is just in all his ways and kind in all his doings. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He fulfills the desire of all who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Let us pray. Our Father, it is good for us to gather in this place to praise thy name, to praise the name of the Father who desires his people to know and to confess him as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to worship him in spirit and in truth. Grant, we beseech thee, that through our faith this day we may be united in a living fellowship with thee. Bless our worship that we may be truly in fellowship with thee and with one another. In this time of drawing apart from the events of the day, we would pray that we would have that special word of encouragement and help, that word of life that each of us needs in this hour. And may this service instruct us in the faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture this morning is from John chapter 1. I began reading with verse 35. The next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What do you see?" And they said to him, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, So you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas. The topic of our meditation today is introductions are in order. Do you like to make introductions? Many of us are a bit awkward at trying to make an introduction of one person to another. I always have trouble trying to remember which person is to be presented to which person in which kind of order. And there are times when this rather awkward and embarrassing task we would gladly yield to another member of the group. But there are times when introductions are in order, and it falls our inescapable lot to try to at least attempt an introduction. Quite a different picture is given to us from the few scriptural references we have of the life of a man in Jesus' day, a man by the name of Andrew. Andrew seems to delight in making introductions. It's a significant fact that wherever Andrew appears on the gospel scene, he is busy introducing others to Jesus. For Andrew, introductions to Jesus were always in order. Now, the methodology of Andrew of introducing persons to Jesus is not the same methodology as suggested by the Manhattan Transfer in the song, "Operator, Get Me Jesus on the Line." Andrew was one of those young men who had been deeply stirred by the revival movement of John the Baptist. It was through that movement that he first had contact with the Christ. As John looked upon Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God," two of his disciples followed after Jesus. Our first reference to Andrew by name is given to us in John 1:40. One of the two which followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. It was anything but an easy part that Andrew had to play in the gospel story. He is generally described as in this first reference as Simon Peter's brother. It's not an easy thing to be continually eclipsed by the brilliance of someone else and to have to stand in the shadow even when that someone else is a brother. And it seems to me that that was exactly the position of Andrew. You see, Andrew found Jesus before his brother Simon Peter did. Without Andrew, there might never have been a Simon Peter in Christian history at all. Yet Andrew had to stand aside and see Simon admitted to an intimacy with Jesus that he was never privileged to share. I should think that this was a real test of the man. And I think that Andrew came through with flying colors. We have no record that there was a hint even of envy in any of his nature. Someone has aptly expressed it this way: the hardest position to play in the orchestra is that of second fiddle. I don't know much about fiddling, but I know that it was difficult to play third and fourth clarinet when I was growing up. The closest we ever got to the lilting melody that the others enjoyed playing was playing an oom-pa-pa every once in a while and counting out rests the rest of the time. Probably this was why I decided to take up the oboe, because our orchestra only had one oboist and you could be called solo oboist. I wonder maybe if this is not why some of us at the only Baptist church call ourselves pastor of the first Baptist church in such and such a place. The hardest place to play in the orchestra probably is that of second fiddle. But Andrew did not care who received first place. He was one of those rare persons who was prepared to take a lesser place, and he gave himself to that assignment. Andrew was continually overshadowed by his own brother, yet he made his own contribution to life, and as far as we know, he was not envious of his brother. The second verse in the text of John 1:40 to 42 indicates that Andrew first finds his own brother Simon and tells him of the discovery of the Christ. It is remarkable, I think, that Andrew's missionary activity began the very next morning after he had found the Christ. It's also noticeable that his missionary activity began in his own home. Some would like to be foreign missionaries and are attracted by the glamour and the romance of the appeal of such far distant places, yet they dislike the rather humbler evangelical work which is waiting at their own door. But it seems to me that no task is common if God calls you to do it. And proof that one is fit for the larger call is found in willingness to answer the smaller and more immediate call. Have we not often considered the needs of others and neglected those who are at our own homes? An earnest Christian, it seems, should begin his witness at home. These mean more to us than others, yet they are often forgotten. And I guess my word of testimony would be that it is very difficult to live the life which we hold up to others to live in our own homes. Many people find it much easier to be a foreign missionary than they do a home missionary. But if Andrew's life be examined, it will be found that Andrew was both. He was a foreign missionary, as indicated in the reference in John chapter 12, but he was regarded as a foreign missionary because I think he was above all a missionary at home. The last verse of our text sums up the main purpose of Andrew's life. And he brought him to Jesus. Whenever we glimpse Andrew, he's always doing the same thing, bringing others to the Christ. The day after his conversion was the day on which he began introducing others to his newfound Lord. The new life in Christ always longs to impart itself. And if we're not sharing that Christ with others, certainly we're missing one of the greatest joys of that life. As soon as we find some new joy, we want to share it with our fellow man. We want others to hear and to see what we are experiencing, to share in our delight. Have you not beheld some beautiful scene and had some of the beauty of that scene or the meaning of that experience stolen from you because you were so desirous that an absent loved one could be there with you and witness that beauty or share that experience? How much more, then, should we want to share Christ with others? In our text, we see Andrew bringing his brother, Simon, to Jesus. But he also appears elsewhere introducing others to the Christ. When a famished crowd had followed the master into the desert, it was Andrew who found the little lad with the loaves and the fishes, and he brought him to Jesus. When the Greek strangers appealed to Philip for an introduction to his master, Philip felt that that was Andrew's job, so he went to Andrew for advice. And Andrew brought them to Jesus. Wherever we find references to Andrew, he's busy introducing others to his Lord. Andrew could bring others to Jesus because he had first been with Jesus himself. Andrew and his friend were so attracted that day to Jesus that they followed him and abode with him through the day. After this experience, Andrew was Christ's man through and through. As we bring others to Jesus, it seems to me we have the joy of sharing in God's redemptive purpose. I think one of the things that caused me to not be able to turn away from an invitation to come back to my theological alma mater and be a part of its ministry was the idea that as I participated in this enterprise, I would be having the joy of sharing with God in what God is about through theological education, through training of ministers. Even though Jesus is no longer with us in the flesh, his work continues through us. What a privilege and a joy it is to be a partner with Christ in his kingdom's work. Andrew's bringing his brother to Jesus emphasizes the way in which the church began. It seems to me that we are apt to overemphasize the 3,000 at Pentecost and the larger evangelical witness. But the beginning of Jesus' ministry gives us another idea altogether. Jesus singled out individuals. Andrew brings Simon Peter. John brings his brother James. Philip brings Nathanael. It's individual bringing individual to Christ. And so Andrew is not only the patron saint of Scotland, He is the patron saint of all who would introduce others to the Christ. And that is still the disciple's calling, to bring someone else to Christ. Introductions to Christ are in order. And I think that we have the privilege not only of introducing others to the Christ, but learning together in our common pilgrimage of following after the Christ. We love to tell the story by introducing others and by being introduced to Him and to His truth. We will stand as we sing our last hymn. Father, as we go from this place of worship to the tasks which are ours, make us conscious of thy grace and love and fellowship. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.